the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Now, it was a busy weekend in GAA circles with club finals taking place across the country. To talk about that, I have Irish sports journalist and all-round GAA fountain of knowledge, Colleen Duffy, down the line. Hello, Colleen. How are you?
I couldn't ask for a better description than that.
I thought so, yeah, because you're a fierce man. Looking at your Facebook and Twitter for GAA knowledge, you seem to be the source of all knowledge.
Well, I don't want to give myself a big head, but you're right.
You're right. And modest as well, modest Colleen Duffy. That's your introduction for the next time. But listen, you were very busy, very very busy man over the weekend. Tell me what was happening at the weekend?
Well, I suppose if you summarise the weekend, obviously, firstly, what was on, there was a plethora of county finals. It really was the GAA's Super Sunday. 20 different county finals yesterday, including the London Senior Hurling Final. We'll go more in depth into the games in a couple of minutes. But yeah, if I just summarise yesterday's action, it was drama. There was a lot of draws. There's going to be a few replays. And there was a lot of memorable moments right across the country, and plenty of celebrations and plenty of hearts broken as well.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's kind of the drama really of GAA football. As I said, it was kind of taking place across the country. Where would you like to start? Pick a place in the map. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I suppose one thing I didn't mention, which kind of would sum up yesterday's action as well, was there was a lot of reigning champions dethroned over the weekend as well, and not just in finals. I suppose the big kind of story maybe over the weekend was that reigning All-Ireland club champions, Leinster champions and Dublin champions Ballyboden and St Enda's won't be around to contest those titles. They've lost out in the Dublin Championship. They lost out to Kilmacud Crokes. I was actually talking to Kilmacud's Paul Mannion today at a press conference, among other things, and yeah, certainly a happy man after the weekend's action. Of course, one thing that did happen at the weekend in Dublin as well was Kilmacud and Coola qualified for the Dublin Senior Hurling Final. That'll be on in a few weeks' time, and Coola are the reigning champions there. I suppose, sure, no better place to start. I'm talking to a Cork man. We'll start in Cork. we might finish in Laois then, because there's certainly dramatic scenes in Laois and a video well worth watching on YouTube. So we'll finish up in Laois when we're talking about the county finals. But Cork, Carbery Rangers and Ballincollig, and Carbery Rangers champions for the very first time. And I'm actually back to college for the first time in 10 years in the last few weeks. And one of the girls in my class, she's from Ballincollig, and I know she's actually having her graduation in UCC today. So you know, what a way to try and get over a county final disappointment. you surround yourself with more celebrations or commiserations, but celebrations in her case with the degree graduation. But yeah, it's amazing to think that a county like Cork can actually produce first time champions in this day and age, because it is quite a big county. You would say a lot of teams, you'd expect that a lot of teams would have won county titles already, but for Carbery Rangers, a historic first title, a dramatic final in Parky Ring, course Parky Cuive under development at the moment, and a 3-point win, 115-112 in the end. Interestingly enough, Carbery Rangers have been in 6 of the last 7 semi-finals, and they were finalists in 2014. They lost out to Ballincollig on that occasion, so revenge being sought there, and their only goal scorer was Keane Dorgan. He finished with a personal tally of 1-8. 1-8 out of 115 isn't bad going at all.
Yeah, so it's been long in the waiting then, that win.
Big time, yeah. And I mean, just looking at, I mean, one of the brilliant things about social media is, you know, you get to see every kind of everything. And I mean, one thing that dominated my Facebook timeline last night, the Twitter timeline as well, was scenes of celebration and joy for the most part as well. And, you know, it's just a tremendous weekend. I suppose the first title handed out this weekend was in Limerick. There was just one county final on Sunday. That was on Saturday, That was on Saturday night under the floodlights at the Gaelic grounds in Limerick. And Monaleen crowned county champions there. And some celebrations. I literally just before we came on air, I was looking at a tweet that they put in the video of the dressing room celebrations, and certainly great crack to be had there. They certainly benefited from an extra night of celebration. I know an awful lot of winners from yesterday turning up in work this morning, a lot of tired heads. At least the Monaleen guys, you know, they had their long night on Saturday to party, and I'm sure they had a long morning and afternoon of it as well yesterday.
Yeah, and that's all it counts really, isn't it? I suppose there's always next weekend for the other teams, I guess.
That's certainly it. And I suppose as well, you know, mentioning next weekend and different things, I mean, we have a couple of replays to look forward to. If I change to hurling for a second, Clonlara and Ballier finished a level 111 apiece. Tony Kelly, one of the stars of that particular final in Cusick Park in Ennis. There was two replays due to take place this weekend in Tyrone and in Cavan, but there was plenty of wet weather up north, and both of those games postponed. The Cavan final is next week at 3:30 p.m. next Sunday, and the Tyrone final is next Friday evening at Healy Park in Omagh at 7:30 p.m. Killyclaher and Cole Island. And apparently, so there's a plan B in place should Omagh not be available, unplayable next week. They will postpone it then until Saturday afternoon, and Park Columbkill and Carrick Moors on standby to stage the final. Of course, that's the pitch that currently holds, hosts or has as part of its facilities the old Nally Stand, which is quite interesting. They transplanted it with the redevelopment of Crow Park. They moved it seat by seat, stone by stone, up to Carrickmore in Tyrone, and it's been rebuilt there, and it's quite an outstanding presence. I know the Thank GA It's Friday TV programme visited there over the summer and had a feature on it as well. It's certainly worth going to if you're up in that particular part of the world. Moving on, I suppose, and talking about first-time champions from a football sense, well, there's plenty of familiarity in Kildare, at least. Sarsfields, the county champions there once again, they retained their title after a four-point win over Newbridge rivals Moorfield at St. Conleth Park in Newbridge. 2-13 to 15 points. It finished there at the end. It was just a point in it. Moorfield leading 8 points to 1-4 at half-time. Raig Cahill with a goal from a penalty for Sarsfields. But Alan Smith then adding a second goal for the winners on the way to a four-point win there. Other titles handed out, of course. Unusual not to see Cross McGlen Rangers in an Armagh final. And by virtue of that, we had new champions. But we had first-time champions here also. Mahara, the Armagh champions, following a 113 to 13 points win over Cully Hanna in the Athletic Grounds. Kieran Higgins with the crucial goal for the visitors early in the second half. They led 17-9 at that stage, and they held out for a famous victory. New champions, well, different champions at least in Antrim, as St. Gall's lost their crown, and quite a comprehensive victory here for Carrigan in the end over St. Gall's. 113 to 6 points at Carrigan Park in Belfast. Of course, Tomás McCann, he was the goal scorer for Carrigan, and amazingly they led 1-9 to 2 points at the break, although they were favoured by a strong wind in that opening half. And it is Carrigan who will await the winners of that Tyrone final between Cole Island and Killyclaher next weekend in the Ulster quarter final. It'll be a busy weekend for whoever manages to come out of the Tyrone county final replay. And speaking of Ulster Championship, well, the provincial championships are indeed underway. Kilcoo 1-8 to 9 points winners over Scotstown. The downside advancing to the last 8 in Ulster following a 2-point win over the Munster champions. Kilcoo led 5 points to 4 at half time despite playing into the wind, and then Ryan Johnson netted 6 minutes after the restart to pave a victory for Kilcoo. Scotstown reduced to 13 men in stoppage time. Frank Caulfield on a second yellow and Brian McGinnity on a straight red card dismiss late in that game. Moving back to hurling, of course, the Tipperary title was up for grabs, of course, yesterday afternoon. No surprises here as Thurles Sarsfields once again taking the title against Kildangan side, bridging a long gap since their last decider in the end. There was also action in Wexford in terms of county final action, and in that particular one, it was Owlert the Balla who were victorious in the end. A brilliant victory for them, of course. Davy Fitzgerald, the new Wexford senior hurling manager, was present and certainly, I'm sure, was impressed with the standard that he's seen there. Of course, Owlert the Balla are the reigning Leinster champions as well, so they will hope to keep their run intact and maybe go one better and take an All-Ireland crown in 2017. Who knows about that? One team also that did retain hurling honours was St Mullins in Carlow. They they captured their third county championship in succession, beating Mount Leinster Rangers, of course, who were in an All-Ireland club final a few years ago, and also won an All-Ireland intermediate title previous to that. It was 2-16 to 13 points in the end at Netwatch Cullen Park. County finals finishing level in Roscommon and Wicklow also. Oran scoring 3 first half goals in the Roscommon decider. There was 3-8 to Oran, 17 points to Four Roads in the end. 3 late points for Carnew Emmets, ensuring a day out for them once again in Wicklow. They drew with Bray Emmets 1-9 to 12 points. And London Robert Emmets, the senior hurling champions there, in the unusual venue, I suppose, of Greenford, of course, the Irish TV grounds in Ruislip, under redevelopment at the moment. It finished Robert Emmett 2-13, St Gabriel's 1 goal and 12 in the end.
Yes, so a very, very, very super Sunday. A lot of action there, lots of heroes and a few villains as well. What kind of attendance do most of these games get? Because I know they're a big, big weekend for club supporters across the country.
Pretty decent attendances. Yesterday in Portlaoise was about 6,000 there. I know the Longford final, which I didn't mention, Mullinocta winning their first title in 68 years. That also got quite a big attendance. I reckon hundreds of thousands in total actually attending the games. It's an interesting one. It's actually a far more interesting Sunday than an All-Ireland final would be in terms of attendances and interest, because unlike an All-Ireland final where that's your final game, you can only fit 82,000 in, you're talking about a plethora of games here. You're talking about a lot of unknown as well. And also you're talking about, as I mentioned, Mullinocta, the Longford champions there, they're going to be facing Stradbally of Laois. So there's an interest in what's going on in different counties and different finals. Some finals I haven't mentioned yet, of course, Galway hurling title won by St Thomas's, a good win for them. Only their second title, amazingly. They beat Gort in the final in Pierce Stadium. Road, well, they're kingpins in Offaly once again in the senior football sense. They beat a Forbann side in a final for the first time since 1997. While there was a lot of first-time champions yesterday, there was also a lot of familiar winners as well. And I suppose moving on to that Laois final, what a dramatic finish. If you haven't seen the goal yet, it's on YouTube. I managed to sneak it onto RTE News last night as well. One of the Stradbally backroom lads that does the stats, he was filming the game as well, and he said to me, if I get this onto YouTube, is there any chance you might get it onto RTE? So one call led to another, and it was on the 9 o'clock news all 20 seconds. A dramatic goal, the 62nd minute, 2 minutes into injury time, not much left to play. And Stradbally overturn a Portlaoise attack at the opposite end, about 30 metres out from their own goals. Brian Smith dispossessed. The balls got upfield. Colin Begley, a Laois County Serve, of course, one of those involved in the move. The ball finishes in the hands of Jody Dillon, and a cracker of a shot from about 21 metres out, maybe a little bit more out. It's well worth the watch. I have it up on YouTube, and it's, you know, there's one thing about the move and the other thing about the amount of time that was left, but the actual goal itself and the way it was finished, it wasn't one of these ones played in around the edge of the square and someone palms it to the net over a plethora of heads. It was just a cracking shot right to the keeper's left. A brilliant shot and heartbreak for Port Laois. They were going for 10 in a row. They'd already achieved a record in Laois by winning 9 in a row of Laois County titles. But just the manner of that defeat. Yesterday, I had a great view of the game because I decided I'd go down and take some pictures on the side from the sideline and just... You know, what a way to finish a match. It was absolutely outstanding. And just unfortunate that TG Cahir won't have it on their highlights programme tonight because there were so many county finals. They were probably expecting 10 in a row for Port Laois. And to be honest, Strabally were firm underdogs. But thankfully, that footage has made it to the masses and it can be watched on YouTube. And one of the highlights of the weekend as well.
Who knows? TG Cahir might pick up the goal, perhaps. Maybe. Who knows?
Well, I the course I'm doing is in with Nemeton and TG Cahir, and I know I shouldn't be saying things like this, but they do have a goal of the year competition at the end of the year, so maybe we could sneak it in as a contender for that, because it definitely is.
We could try and get that in. I suppose apart from GAA this weekend, there's one other big Irish sports news, and that, unfortunately, really, is the passing of Munster's Anthony Foley. The announcement was made kind of Sunday around 1 o'clock, and the impact straight away on Irish sport and on Ireland has been huge and instant, really, hasn't it?
It certainly has. And when I heard, firstly, myself, I was in Port Laois, and just unbelievable. Like, it's numbing. I was lucky enough to have interviewed Anthony Foley a lot over the years. I'm 13 years a journalist, and during a lot of that time, I've covered rugby games as well as being that staunch GAA person. I do dabble a bit in so-called foreign sports, but I have worked for the IRFU in the past and would have dealt with Anthony Foley and both as a player and as a coach. And certainly, I know it's cliched when people pass away and people are paying their respects, but no finer gentleman you could meet. Certainly a great ambassador, not just for Munster, but for Ireland also. He wore the Irish shirt with pride as well over the years. And just, you could see that from the outpouring of emotion yesterday. I mean, there was press statements floating in from opposition teams. I know Ulster, Munster. I know Les Kiss was on Sky Sports after the Ulster game talking about Axel with great standing. The Leinster Rugby, likewise, they were very sincere in their tribute, so too Connacht Rugby as well, but not just here in Ireland, overseas as well, the rugby world in general. You know, he was a man who made his mark, a gentle giant in many respects, but, you know, a firm tactician as well, a hard player on the rugby field. You know, it wasn't a surprise that his nickname was Axel, because he was the Axel for any team he got involved with, be it on or off the pitch. And I know, talking to people who would know him better than I would, and talking about his school's rugby career as well and different things, he was a good force. He was a standout man. He was a leader. And, you know, it's terribly shocking to think that somebody could die so young, 42 years of age. You know, your sympathy has to go out to his family, his wife, his kids, the extended family, friends, Munster rugby people, Irish rugby people. And I suppose it's typified really by, obviously, the IRFU have a book of condolence open today. Many people paying their respects. You could see outside Thomond Park yesterday, I saw on the news last night, you know, countless flowers being left, messages, Munster jerseys hanging up on the railings as well. You know, it's not quite a disaster in terms of Hillsborough proportions, but you know, there's one thing in common, and that's when adversity hits the sporting community, everyone rallies round, and there's certainly no better person to rally round and pay your respects to one of our finest sportsmen that we've had, and Arieste Gareva Annam. You know, I know it's cliched as well, but there certainly won't be a person like Anthony Foley, that's for sure. And I know I know that there will be plans to honour his memory coming down the tracks as well from both Munster and the IRFU. And it was quite fitting, I suppose, that outside the sporting world yesterday that you had tributes from the likes of Michael D. Higgins, Enda Kenny as well. It showed that, you know, okay, Anthony Foley was a rugby man, firstly, but as I said, he represented his province and his country with great pride, and his values and, you know, just the overall person that he was transcended areas far past rugby and sport. It got into every area, and you know, you could put him up there with Paul O'Connell, with Ronan O'Gara, Brian O'Driscoll. I mean, we've been lucky as a small island to have such positive role models and such excellent rugby players over the years, and he was one of those. You know, he was on the list of Irish greats. You know, you could throw him in with a man who passed away not too long ago, just a couple of years ago, Moss Keane, many other Irish rugby legends. He was a man of that standing as well, and his loss will certainly be felt, and I'm sure that Munster will, as a squad and as a team and as a province, will certainly have him watching over, have him watching over them over the next while. And you know, sometimes it takes a negative to bring out the positive. And I know Munster rugby haven't gone too well in terms of success in the last couple of years, so I'm sure they've never been lacking a driving force to get back to those glory days. And I'm sure, if one was necessary, that they would certainly love to get back to the top table with Anthony Foley in their memories, and him driving them on now from above as well. Of course, a former captain, he did captain Munster when they lifted the Heineken Cup back in 2006. So he's left a legacy. He's left a lot of good memories. And he certainly won't be forgotten.
Absolutely. I think you've said it all there. You've kind of covered it all, really. And I said our condolences go out to his family and, you know, his extended family as well. Because, you know, they all had a bit of rugby blood in them, didn't they?
They certainly had. And I suppose, like, it's only when things like this come around, I suppose. And by God, it's unfortunately not been the first time in the last 13 years that I've come across sports people who have died well before their time. Just last year, 13, 14 months ago now at this stage, young Aaron Devlin, 23-year-old from Ballinderry in Derry, passing away with meningitis. And I remember being up at the funeral, a Derry footballer, and just so sad. And I know Anthony was lucky enough to have a bit more years, but 42 is certainly quite young to die. But you know, it puts everything into perspective. I know one of the key things about sport is supposed to be fun and enjoyment, but I suppose at the top level sometimes it's hard to have that fun and enjoyment. But it really has put things into perspective. And I suppose one hard thing to take as well is that, you know, he was obviously, the team were over in France getting ready for a game as well, and you know, that being overseas when somebody passes away is often hard to take. But I suppose his family, his friends and those who supported him over the years can take great solace from the fact that he was on duty for his province at the time he passed away. And I suppose there's no nice way to die, certainly, but he was among people who loved him, and I suppose that's something that can be taken from this.
Yeah, and the Munster supporters yesterday, and it's up on Twitter, and I think we're going to maybe end this with that. They paid tribute to Anthony with a kind of a 30-second clap. So I think we'll play that, Colleen, and leave it there, I think. Thanks very much for talking to us this week, and hopefully we'll hear from you after the next round of club GAA games.
No problem at all. Talk to you soon.